How many times have you football fans heard the losing coach make that statement? Or the losing quarterback? One of the outstanding players being interviewed after the game, we got out of our game plan. Now, for those of you that are not spiritual and don't know football, and those who are out of the will of God and are not pulling for the Bears, I'd like to say to you that are Patriot fans, God pity your wicked soul. I would not wish that you would go to the bad place when you die. But I hope you stop over at the middle place on the way to the good place. But now you know what I'm talking about, most of you, when I say game plan. When a football team plays 1 week, they start drawing for the next week the game plan. Now there's a certain plan. Maybe, like the Bears are playing the Patriots. The Patriots have a good running game. They had a good running game. But they've been making yards on the ground. Their passing has been suspect. Now, I feel sure that the Bears coaches are drawing up a game plan or have drawn it up, that they'll be able somehow to stop the Patriots' running game. That'll be a part of their defensive game plan. And they will stop it dead in its tracks. And that's a gospel if I ever preached it in my life. But anyway, and I'm going to preach the truth of God whether you like it or not. But then sometimes, let's take some teams. Okay, the Patriots have a good defensive backfield. And they have good linebackers. Now, it just may be, and I'm going to predict this, that the Bears will try to run on the Patriots a little more than they would normally, because the Patriots have a tremendous defensive backfield. So against some teams, a coach might decide that they have a line that's vulnerable to the run and a good defensive backfield. Against other teams, it may be that they, like take the Rams, for example. The Rams they play the pass deep. They don't let you get the long pass. So if you're going to throw against the Rams, you throw the short passes and make 8, 9, 10 yards at a time. And the game plan the Bears had against the Rams was to throw the short passes. Now, the game plan is drawn up with the coaches, and it includes the tactics that they plan to use in the game. Now, however, let's suppose a team fumbles the ball on the kickoff, and the other team scores a touchdown quickly. And then they kick the ball off, and the team that is behind throws a pass. It's intercepted and run back for a touchdown. Let's suppose that in a matter of a few minutes, they're 14 points behind. Now, before you know it, you'll get out of your game plan. If your game plan is to run, for example, run the ball, if you get 14 points behind or more in a hurry, you may want to, you all of a sudden try to get the bomb or throw the long pass. Catch back up in a hurry. And they call that getting out of your game plan. Now, follow me carefully. Life is divided into two main parts. Let me say one word about the game plan first. Some individual plays were used that were not a part of the great purpose set up for the game. Is getting out of the game plan. Here's a particular play that's used, and that play was not a part of the plan the coaches set for the game. That's getting out of the game plan. Now, life is composed of two main parts. Now, follow me very carefully. Part one, the general purpose of life. I call that this morning the game plan. God has a purpose for your life. There's a reason why you're here. There's a will for everybody's life. God never makes any mistakes. There are no uh-ohs in God's plan. God made you for a purpose. There's a reason that you're here. There's a game plan for your life. There's a general purpose for your life. Now, that's the first main part of life. Now, part number two, and that is the individual act of life, or acts. The individual acts of life. Now, The general purpose is trying to draw the individual acts into its own likeness. You follow me? Here's the game plan. The game plan is the big purpose of the game. Now, each individual play of that game is a part of that game plan, is supposed to be a part of that game plan. And the game plan is trying to draw into itself and conformity with itself each of the plays of that game so that every play will be inside the circumference of the game plan. Now, life is that way. Life has a general purpose. I call the game plan, the general purpose of life. Number two, the individual acts of life. Now, the general purpose of life, or the game plan, is trying to draw the individual acts into its own likeness. Now, when these two are in harmony, the game plan, the general purpose of life, and the events and acts of life, when they're in harmony, life is at peace. But when they're out of harmony, life is in disturbance. Your problem this morning is the same problem that the Chicago Bears had when they lost the only game this year to the Miami Dolphins. The Bears had a game plan, but they made some mistakes and had some turnovers, and the devil got in the game. And the Bears got out of their game plan. When they got, the same thing happened to the Dallas Cowboys when they played the Chicago Bears. Bears got lucky there at the first and eked out a victory, 44-0. Won on the last play of the game. But now Dallas got rattled and got out of the game plan. You see, when an individual play in the game is not a part of the general purpose and plan of the game, then the team gets rattled. Well, I heard a quarterback interviewed on the radio, and he said, I absolutely got so rattled, I didn't even know what I was out there for. He said it just seemed like nothing fit in. We had a bunch of individual plays and no general game plan. Now, you see, when these two in life, the game plan of life and the plays of life, the individual acts of life, when they dovetail into and fit into God's general purpose for our lives, we're in harmony. But when they are out of harmony, life is in disturbance. So the Savior calls this putting new wine into old bottles. You see, the new wine will not stay in the old bottles without becoming old wine. Because you have leaven settled and stuck to the side of the bottles. And soon the bottles begin to crack. And the new wine goes into the old bottles. It'll mix with the leaven of the old wine that was there. And soon it becomes old wine, and the old bottles begin to crack, and the new wine comes out. That's what God is saying here. The new wine will not stay within the leaven of the old bottle. Let me illustrate. Here somebody plans a trip. And you're going to go on a vacation. You got it all planned. But all of a sudden, you decide. Maybe the wife says, "Let's go over there a few miles away and see thus and so." And the husband has the trip planned, and of course, naturally, being a man, it's planned to perfection. And being a woman, women are use it a little different. Now, and I'm planned. I get out of my schedule. Everything is all wacky with me. But let's suppose that one of the two says, let's go, and we're out of schedule now. And you get where you're gonna get to get a hotel, and by the time you get there, you're 2 hours later than you'd planned. And the hotel is full. And you see that sign, no vacancy, no vacancy. You see it so much you get rocks and throw them in the window of the motel offices, and everything. And before you know it, there's fussing and feuding and, no place to stay, and you stay maybe at a little dump of a hotel you wouldn't have stayed in before. Why? You got out of your game plan. Now, God is saying here that here is the general purpose of life. Now, the life is fulfilled and at peace when each of the events of life and the activities and acts of life are inside the game plan or the general purpose of life. Let's take an artist. Here's a artist, and he has in his mind what he wants to put on that canvas. Don't leave me now. He has in his mind what he wants to put on that canvas. So everything he does is a part of the game plan. In his mind, he had the picture already drawn. Well, let's suppose that all of a sudden, while he's painting that thing, he decides to change something, and he takes the brush and puts something over here he hadn't planned. And a person comes by and says, "What is that little splash paint over there for?" And the artist says, "I don't know why I did it. It was not a part of my original design, my original plan." Let's take a builder. A builder who has the plans for a building. He may all of a sudden decide to change a little something. And you can usually see that which was changed, not according to the plan. Now, this is one of your problems. That's why this is New Year's resolution breaking week. I officially proclaim it as such. New Year's resolution breaking week. I guarantee you that this is the week when 90% of all the resolutions that are made on January 1st or before are broken. Now here's why. Oh, if you'd get this. Your resolution was to do something that was not a part of your game plan. You see, the resolution was an individual action one and not a general purpose one. Now, let me have your attention. You resolve to read your Bible every day. You resolve to read 4 chapters in the Old and 3 chapters or 2 chapters in the New. Now, here's what happened. You took a game plan of life that was carnal. And you tried to insert in a carnal game plan one spiritual act. And it didn't fit. You see, you don't live for the Bible. You don't love the Bible. The Bible's not your guidebook. It's not your rule book. You don't live. Listen, your game plan is not a spiritual game plan. Your game plan is eating, drinking, buying, selling, making money, stacking up in the bank, living for self. That's your game plan. And so, but the preacher, priest says, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. And so you took that one act, reading your Bible, and you stuck it in a carnal game plan. And that's why you've broken it already or are going to real soon. Now what you need to do is get you a game plan where your entire plan is built around this book. You see, that's your problem. Many people in this room, you vowed to do good, but you vowed to do good acts. Now what you ought to do is go back and get you a good game plan. Let's suppose, for example, that, okay, a person takes that individual act out and sets it down in a carnal game plan. For example, you promise sometime to pray so many minutes a day. Let's just pull it out of the hat and say 15 minutes a day. I started to pull it out of the air, then I started to pull it out of the hat, so I said pull it out of the hair. So pull it out of the hair. I'm not going to pull mine out, boy. The other one may go out too. But now I'm saying that what you've done is this. You said, I'll pray 15 minutes a day, but the truth is, you do not have a game plan of walking with God. Your game plan is not praying without ceasing. Your game plan is not seeking God's help in every decision you make of life. And so you have a game plan that is not a prayerful game plan, and you take 15 minutes of prayer, which is spiritual, and put it in a carnal game plan, and you wonder why you don't. And by the way, there are hundreds of you that promised to pray so many minutes a day this year, and you've already broken that, you're not doing it, and you meant it when you said it. And there are others who promised to read so much Bible every day, and you meant it when you said it. But what you've done is this. You've got a whole atmosphere of your life that is a carnal. I'm not talking about sinful game plan. I'm talking about material game plan. I'm talking about clothes and houses and cars and eating and picnicking and money making. Oh, if I could just reach out and grab you today and let you know that there never has been anybody and never will be and never could be anybody have been made happy by that thing right there. Never has been. If you've got that kind of a game plan for your life and you put a prayer meeting in there It won't stay there long because your general act, your individual acts are not coincident with your general game plan. So God is simply saying, you're taking new wine, putting it in old bottles. You're taking the new wine of a prayer life, putting the old life you used to live. Now God is saying here, what you ought to do is change your game plan. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You cannot put, listen, you can't put 15 minutes a day in that book in a game plan of television and magazines and newspapers and this stand. You can't do that. You can't put 15 minutes a day of prayer in a game plan of frolicking and frivolity and foolishness and world materialism and secularism. You can't do it. It won't survive. Why? It is new wine in old bottles and it will leak out. And your New Year's resolutions have already just about all leaked out and petered out too. And the reason that your resolutions have leaked out of the old bottle is because your lifestyle is not one of dependency upon God. Your lifestyle is not one of living in that book. Your lifestyle is not one of walking with God. You have a secular lifestyle. You put a 15-minute prayer time in the old bottle and it leaks out. Why? Because until you get a general purpose, and that general purpose reaches out and pulls to itself. But let me see this. Hear me carefully. It's better to have a general purpose and commit sin outside that general purpose than to have a sinful, materialistic general purpose and commit into. And then try to be spiritual. Look, God looks with patience on somebody whose general plan is right and they stumble. But God does not look with patience on somebody whose game plan is wrong. When your game plan is wrong, then spiritual activities in the game plan will not last. They'll leak out. Oh, I wish you'd get this. This is your problem. For example, here's a person, the Boy Scouts say, I'll do a good deed every day. Every time I think about that, I think about the story that everybody here has heard and told, but we love to hear it. If you don't love to hear it, you're going to hear it anyhow. About the little boy scout that went to scout troop, and the scoutmaster said, did you do a good deed today? And the boy said, yes, sir. He said, what did you do? He said, I helped an old lady across the street. Well, he said, why are you so marked up and got those scratches? He said, the old lady didn't want to go across the street. Now, what you did is this. You're like the Boy Scout. You say, I'm going to do a good deed today. You won't do a good deed today. Because you're putting one unselfish deed in a game plan of selfishness. And it will not survive. You may as well plant a rose in a weed garden. It won't survive. God is saying here, what you ought to do, instead of having a good deed a day, live for other people. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be. Lord, let me live for others that I may live like Thee. But you've already pooped out. You don't do any good deeds now at all. You promised God you'd do a good deed today. What you did, you put a good deed in a game plan of selfishness. It won't stand. Oh, if I could reach out today and grab everybody in this room and shake you good and hard and say, listen to what I'm preaching right now. Your whole life could be transformed and changed if you'd listen to what I'm teaching and preaching you right now. You've got a lousy game plan and you got, well, what you got? You got one good play. It's that flea flicker play. It's that cute little play. You got one little cute play. And you're hoping that one little cute play will win the game. It won't do it. You don't win games by one cute play. You win games by practicing your blocking. You win games by practicing your tackling. You win games by living, eating, and sleeping football. And you get the basics down. And you won't win the game of life because you read the Bible 15 minutes a day. You've got to have a game plan that says what that book says is what I'll do. You won't win the game of life if you have 15 minutes of prayer a day or one good deed a day. You've got to say, my whole life, one that's dependent upon Jesus and one that's spiritual in nature, that's my game plan. Like planting a flower in a garden of weeds, like the resolution has no chance to live. The resolutions are good, but hopeless and helpless because they're planted in the garden. It's not conducive to their growth. You put the prayer time in a game plan of dependence on God and it'll live. You put the Bible time in a life of built on the Word of God and it'll live. You put the good deed in a life of living for others and it'll live. You put the resolution to love more in a life of love and it'll live. Listen to me. Even Pharaoh tried to repent. But he couldn't repent. Why? He wanted to repent. He wanted to do better. But he was trying to place in a game plan of hatred and selfishness and godlessness. He wanted to put one good play in the game plan. It didn't work. Even Judas Iscariot wanted to repent. Why didn't he repent? He wanted to. The Bible mentions often he sought for repentance. He sought for it. Why didn't he seek it? Find it. Tell you why. The same reason you have not kept your resolutions, and the same reason why you want to read that Bible and most of you don't read it that many minutes a day, and that's a disgrace and an abomination in the sight of Almighty God. And that's why you don't pray that many minutes a day, and that's a disgrace to Christianity. Why don't you? Because you do not have a game plan of walking with God. And your game plan is not walking with God and try to put that little 15-minute prayer time in that game plan of walking alone, making it by yourself. It won't work. It'll be new wine in old bottles, and it won't work. Now listen carefully. I love this. It also works the other way. I'm turning now from a game plan that's material, putting one little act in the game plan that's material. Now I want to turn the other way. I want to put a game plan that's spiritual. And one act of sin comes in it. Did you know David is very wicked in one instance, but he got back into his game plan? Please listen to me. The thing about your life that God is upset about is not that one wicked thing that you did when you fell. The thing that God's upset about is your wicked game plan. And that's why David can be guilty of adultery and even guilty of murder, but that wasn't a part of his game plan. David's whole game plan was being a man after God's own heart. And he got out of his game plan, but thank God, God said your game plan is still good. Get back in it. He did. Oh, what a merciful God. Moses had a good game plan. Moses got out of his game plan. But he was still called a friend of God. Because Moses had a good game plan and a bad incident. But God looks down and says, a bad incident hasn't got any more chance of living in a good game plan than a good incident does in a bad game plan. Noah got drunk. Who knows what else? There in that time of weakness. But Noah's game plan for 120 years was walking with God. And into that game plan, he put one deed that was conflicting with the game plan, but God knew his game plan, and though Noah did wrong, his life wasn't wrecked. Abraham had a game plan of being a friend of God. Abraham had a game plan of being faithful to God and a man of faith. Into that game plan, there came a horrible thing that Abraham did concerning that little handmaid from Egypt. Horrible thing. But God looked down and saw the game plan was good, and God said, Abraham, you put a bad thing in a good game plan, but thank God, get back in the game plan. Peter left his father's business, left everything to follow Jesus. His game plan was to serve God. His game plan was to take this message of grace and take it around the world. Now listen carefully. That was his game plan.
One day in a moment of weakness, he cursed and swore and said, I don't belong to the church. I don't belong to that crowd. I don't belong to Jesus. He cursed and swore and denied the Lord three times. Now, why did God let Peter come back in 50 days and preach on Pentecost and have 3,000 converts? Because Peter had a good game plan. And this morning, if you've made a mistake in life, but you are sincere, you try to walk with God and you stumble, thank God! He's more concerned about your game plan than the individual act. Now, he'll punish you for that act, but he won't ruin your life because the game plan can still be used. This morning, many of you have a life of selfishness. You get mad, angry. I, me, us, ours, mine. The end of that game plan. You put one little good deed. And if you ever want to see somebody who's got a pious look on his face, Doc, you watch a fellow do a good deed and it doesn't do one very often. He can sure have a look on his face. Looks like Barney Fife. When he stumbled into a prisoner, he accidentally captured. Nothing. It's a part of the duty of an officer of the law, enforcer of justice. You watch somebody that doesn't tithe write a check for $10 for poor folks on Christmas. Man, you'd think they'd just gotten back from outer space. You watch them as they drop it in the collection plate. You watch somebody that never wins a soul and his life is not soul winning. But one day he's walking down the street and the fellow runs up to him and slaps him on the face and says, what must I do to be saved? The fellow says, I'll call the preacher. I got to know now. You've got to help me. He holds you hostage there and you tell him how to be saved. You watch him walk down the aisle next Sunday with the only convert he ever had. You know why? He got out of his game plan. Now, your problem in life is this. Your problem is some of you are trying to put some good acts into a selfish game plan. Unselfish deeds into a selfish game plan. Prayer time, a prayer time, and that's, by the way, that's what I've got against ritualistic church services. You come to God on Sunday morning with a formal kind of a so-called worship service, and you put that worship service in the middle. And listen, I wonder how many folks went to that church across the street this morning or yesterday, and they were drunk the night before. What are they trying to do? They're trying to take a little religion and put it in a game plan that's sinful. It won't work. That's new wine in old bottles. It won't work. This morning I'm talking to hundreds of people in this room that didn't get drunk, but you're just as worldly as that. You didn't think much about God this week, and you don't rely upon God. Your reliance is upon your own salary, Social Security, retirement plan, IRS, and not IRS, IRA, your trust is not in God, and you're trying to put place in a life of secularism and materialism.
Bible every day.
You get to a place to where when you're not even reading the Bible, you're thinking about it. You get to a place to where when you're getting a tight, all of a sudden you grab that book and say, there's got to be an answer in here. You get to a place where you're never within reaching distance of that book anywhere in your life. People ashamed to carry it in public all of a sudden want to read it 15 minutes a day and it won't work. It's new wine in old bottles. Told you this little story years ago. I was on the airplane. Happened to have three or four Bibles with me. I was reading the Bible. Reading the red one. All of a sudden, a big 300-pound guy, he looked like the refrigerator, came down the aisle. I've forgotten his name now all of a sudden. Yeah, Roosevelt Greer. Big. He's a movie star now. Also a Hollywood NFL football player. I was sitting in the row right before you get to the men's rooms. Everybody came to the washroom. Everybody came to the washroom had to pass me. Well, Roosevelt Greer was waiting to use the washroom. Or either that or they were enlarging it for him. And I was reading the Bible like this. And he looked and saw the Bible. And his eyes got big. And he left his place in line, went back up, and got a whole gang of fellows. He had an entourage with him. And brought those fellows back here and pointed at me. Bible. Bible. So I just opened my briefcase and got two more out. I just put one here, one here, and one here. One is black, one is red, one is blue. I looked up at him and I said, Jesus. They scattered like flies. You know, funny thing about that, the other day I was listening to the radio program and I heard that Roosevelt Greer had gotten saved. Now, the illustration is this. You take this book and make it your game plan. Then when you promise God you're going to read it 15 minutes a day of concentrated reading, it'll live because it's growing in a life, a game plan that fits with the individual acts. Now, that's why you're nervous. You're trying to fit individual acts into your life that's not according to your life's general purpose. There's nobody in this room any more miserable than a young man right now who's called of God to preach who's not in college. Why? He's out of his game plan. That's why I say if you can't go in the daytime, go at night. Stay in your game plan. But you get out of the game plan, you're not happy. And that's why that 95% of the people in this room can't wait till I get through right now. Because your game plan is not built on hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So what happens is this. Your game plan doesn't call for listening to what I say, so you don't listen to it, you don't get it, you go out and get yourself in all kinds of trouble, and you come back to my office for counseling. Frustrated, upset. Why? Because you got a carnal game plan trying to put a few spiritual acts into it. Won't work. That's why you promise God you're going to come to church on Wednesday night, every Wednesday night in a year. You come about three times and poop out. Why? Because your individual act is not a part of life's game plan. You decide you're going to live for others. I didn't say do a good deed every day. I said live for others. I didn't say do one kind thing. I said live for others. And once you decide to live for others, then you can choose a certain particular act within the circumference of your game plan, and you'll have a happy life. But you're frustrated this morning because you're trying to place a few good deeds with which to save your conscience in a game plan that's interested in making money, feeding your body, clothing your body, having fun, going to the next party. Please don't misunderstand me, and I'm through when I say this, but don't misunderstand me. I'm not boasting at all. And I'm not a good Christian, but I'll guarantee you this. Reading this Bible 15 minutes doesn't shape me up a great deal because it's a part of my game plan of life. And promising God to pray 15 minutes a day in a special time doesn't really upset me or my schedule because my life is built on a game plan of walking with God. And please don't misunderstand me again. When I do a good deed, I don't get my halo straightened again because I've tried through these many years to have a game plan of my life that was trying to help others. Now, that's your problem this morning. You need to quit choosing one little individual cute play in life, hoping you can win the game. You need to go back yonder, your house somewhere, and get along with God and say, dear God, my problem is this. I don't have the right game plan. And this morning, if you have the right game plan and you've stumbled and fallen, let me tell you, we have a wonderful God. And that wonderful God who looked down and saw David in with a bad act and a good game plan forgave him, and David came back and wrote some of the greatest psalms he ever wrote after he had committed his sin. God saw his game plan. And God saw that David was miserable. There are two miserable folks in this room. People who live selfishly and try to do an occasional unselfish thing. You're miserable. Your game plan, your actions in life do not coincide with your game plan. And the second miserable crowd this morning are those who have a good game plan, but you stumbled and done something wrong. But God in His mercy looks and says, get back in the game plan. I remember one time Dallas Cowboys had gotten behind just one time years ago. And they got rattled. And they got 21 points behind and they got rattled. And I remember that Tom Landry, they interviewed him. They said, Tom, what did you do at halftime? He said, behind 20 to 3. They're playing Washington. Monday Night Football about 3 years ago. Halftime. And Tom Landry said, I said to the team, let's go out there and act like we would if the game was nothing, we just started the game. That's the game plan. And the Cowboys went out and started running the ball, didn't try to catch up all at one time. They got back in the game plan. And they won the game. They won the game. Get back in the game plan. And if you are out of your game plan this morning and your game plan is in the will of God and you stumbled in sin, God welcomes you back. And this morning, if you're here and you wonder why it is you don't like to pray and why it is you don't like to come to church and why it is you don't like to read this book and why the sport magazine appeals to you more than this book, I don't know what the trouble is. You're putting new wine in old bottles. You're trying to place the individual acts of life into a general purpose that does not include a life walking with God. Go alone somewhere this afternoon. Look at your whole life. Draw up your game plan. Our Heavenly Father,